May these words be to God's glory. First, I want to thank you. Thank you for being you, for being willing to stand up and be part of the many things I ask you to do. I ask you to look at. Sometimes it's painful and you'd rather not, and I get that. But sometimes people do come forward and we do engage in a way of being community that we hadn't been before. Our memorial last Sunday was not part of the usual way of things. But life, or in this case, death, happens when we're making plans, whether we like it or not. And people caught up in these awful events deserve our attention, living or dead, when they are part, especially, of this avoidable tragedy that killed 49 people in Orlando. And if you would like to see our bulletin board in the hallway, it has all 49 pictures. One of the things I mentioned last week was that there was some concern that the bodies of people who were LGBTQIA wouldn't be claimed by their families for burial because their families were ashamed of who they were. I thought I'd give you an update on that. There was only one person out of the 49 whose father refused to claim him because he was gay. And eventually, other family members heard about it, and they claimed him in the name of the family, and they buried him. Sometimes in our lives, things happen and we can't move. We can't do something we should be able to do. We are frightened, we're afraid, and we're surprised when someone else comes forward and picks up the very thing for us that we couldn't do. Shame, especially as a result of a cultural or religious indoctrination, is a hard thing to understand. But maybe, just maybe, another person with us will teach us. They'll teach us how to do it differently, how to pick it up when we just can't move. This morning's story about Elijah and Elisha is a little confusing, as is lots of scripture. What I get from the story is that no matter how uncomfortable it is for him, no matter how much he doesn't want to do it, Elisha is going to go with Elijah. Elijah is telling God what to do. Elijah was a prophet. Elisha is compelled to go, to follow, to be with him. Elijah has a mantle or a coat or a cloak. What this mantle is a cloak that identifies Elijah as a prophet. It is probably sheepskin. I have no idea if it was decorated in any way or not. We don't know. But it was a cloak, and it identified Elijah as a holy person. Not just anyone had a coat like this. The coat seemed to have powers of its own. Or was the power in the believer who has the coat, wears the coat, uses the coat in this scripture passage to not once but twice part the waters so they could walk through? First, Elijah rolls up the mantle. And then, after Elijah has gone up into the whirlwind, the mantle literally falls on Elisha. It's hard to know the details, but to me, sometimes we follow another and we pick up new ways to be in our lives that we never expected we would understand. But it's surprising when that happens, and even a little confusing. Yesterday, some of us attended a workshop presented by the Reverend Dr. John Mabry about the results of his study and research on generational theory. Don't be yawning now. It's really a good thing, generational theory. Without giving the store away, suffice it to say that What he's talking about is that we come from different generations, and each generation has shared the same thing. They have shared a history that then colors that generation of people. That tells us how we are to live out our lives and our faith. So I have asked a couple of people who attended this workshop if they would come forward and just say one brief thing that they learned. So let's start with Deb. Thanks, Deb. Let's see, who else was there? Who wants to say something? Linda, you want to say a word or two? Linda has a soft voice, so we'll have to listen for her. Or maybe you don't. Maybe you're just... You always talk softly to me, maybe. Oh, there you go. Good. Thank you. And Terry.
One of the things that I learned and had known before but was reinforced was the notion that we're all a result of the experiences we've had in our early lives. And some of us have had early lives in different times than others, and so we have different sets of experiences that kind of form the way we think about things. And as I thought about it, it occurs to me that we're all different, and if we understand those differences, really wonderful. And in fact, there's a lot more that unites us than divides us. And in fact, our diversity is a great strength. The diversity of this church is a great strength if we only recognize it, seize it, and use it wisely.
Thank you. Anybody else who was there want to say anything? This was the second time I went to this workshop. And I'd heard this information before, and I learned new things. It was very interesting. Just briefly, if you think about it, those of you who were alive during World War II, your life is shaped in one way. If you were alive during September 11th, and that was your forming action in this country, your lives are shaped in a certain way. So it goes on from there. So if we look at our New Testament scripture this morning, Jesus had his time on earth with his disciples, and he said, I'm going to Jerusalem. It's coming to an end. Unlike the story of Elijah and Elisha, Jesus seems a little agitated to me. Maybe he's a little angry. He has no place to lay his head. He has no comfort at the last. He wanted others to follow him, and they were too busy. Possibly, with all important things, we're too busy too. But Jesus was looking for ultimate and holy commitment It didn't seem, at least in this passage, that anyone was willing to give that to him. And it seems like maybe Jesus never got what he wanted. Maybe he was hoping that we mere mortals would have learned more and we would have understood what he was asking us to do. We all have different emotions about how our lives are going, and we, unlike prophets and messiahs, are just folks, as people on the road, trying to find significance in our personal relationships with each other, with Yahweh, with Jesus. Sometimes something clicks and makes sense that helps us, helps me, helps you see beyond what you might think things are or appear as they do at the moment. So Elijah, in the whirlwind, chariots of fire, is pulled up to the sky, and his mantle falls on the earth for Elisha. Elisha picks up the mantle and calls out, "Where, Yahweh? Where is Yahweh, the God of Elijah?" And he struck the water, and it divided to the right and the left, and he crossed the river. Jesus' story in Luke's passage this morning is not quite so explainable. We kind of heard this kind of parting the water story before. It's part of our cultural, educational, religious DNA. But what Jesus is talking about, I think what we're hearing is Jesus' humanity. Jesus' humanity is kind of getting to him. Unlike how Jesus often reacts with compassion and healing and understanding at our own inability to understand who he is and what's required of us, he's just sort of getting a little angry here and disappointed in others who can't see what he sees. They can't sense the urgency. Drop it. Come on with me now. They seem hopelessly stuck in the real world, like many of us can be. Jesus barks really harsh words, and at the moment, no one seems to get much relief, including him, and certainly not much good news. My guess is Jesus was hoping against hope that maybe he was wrong. Maybe he'd gotten it wrong. Maybe going to Jerusalem wasn't going to be the end for him. He's hoping the mantle falls and makes it better. At some point, even Jesus must have been discouraged and lost. Of course, at the end of the story, we see that's far from the truth. This isn't how we like to think about Jesus. We like to think we're good followers. And yeah, sometimes things get in our way and we get stuck and we can't get to that place where we want to be or we need to be. As a young girl, I took Jesus very seriously. There was a time when I was mortified at the thought that I was letting Jesus down by being mad at my mother or not doing the dishes or any other of a million mistakes I knew I was making as a child. Because sometimes those words from Scripture are pretty harsh, and when you're 6 and 8 and 10 years old, you take it pretty seriously. But then again, there were those years that I wasn't trying so hard. I decided to forget about Jesus. Now I know whether it was the good me or the bad me, Jesus understood. And I was never in danger of being erased from the love of the holy. Never. Not me, not you. It's a comfort to me now to realize that we all let each other down sometimes. Like the father who was compelled to disown his son who died in Orlando. Then somebody else steps up. Somebody else steps up and helps. Helps his son, his son's memory, and in some strange way, the father. The father as well. The beauty of all this is that there are new ways to be in the world that we haven't tried yet. Everything we're doing is not going to be the same tomorrow. If we learn new things, we can be taught new things, new ways to be with each other. Some older, some younger, some really younger. There's no magic fix. There's no sheepskin rug falling from the sky. I don't think, to help us to part our waters of pain and difficulties, our anguish, or our joy. But we have each other. Possibly the most surprising thing I learned yesterday was not from John Mabry, but it was from Linda Lucet. I learned from her something about this church that I didn't know. Linda's sense of Campbell United Church of Christ is that since she has been a member, which is a few years, decades, I think, that this church has always been a loving, compassionate, caring place, committed to peace and justice. That's what she believes. That's what she thinks happens here. We, as a church, have a combined culture. We have a strength to overcome difficulties, and proof in the pudding, we've done that. We've overcome difficulties together. We stand with each other, not the same, different, and we find our way. Not perfectly, but well enough. As the old hymn says, we'll do this if we but trust in God to guide us. In this living and in this being and this learning from each other, this growing up, this passing the mantle, this recognizing, like Elisha did to Elijah, I will not leave you, I will not leave you, I will not leave you. God will not leave us. I believe the love of God and God's compassion says to all of our imperfect selves, with all of our differences and all of our shortcomings and all of our successes, God says, well done, good and faithful servant. And I would think that maybe Jesus then would say, and keep at it. Amen and amen.